what you think about, what you're concentrating on, what you're meditating on. Whatever you think is who you are. As a man thinks, so is he, the Bible says. Whatever you think becomes the sum of who you are.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. Thank you so much for tuning into Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. I'm your host, and it is such a joy for us to be able to serve you the Word of God. And I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church, and the one who brings you the Word every day. And Pastor Mark, you've got us in such a relevant, helpful series called Connected, Breaking Out of Isolation. And today's message, you're talking to us about releasing and the power of releasing people, forgiving people when they've hurt you and there's pain in your life. And just, could there be anything more important in a relationship?
You know, I get so many questions about this so often. I think this is one of the top topics that people struggle with in their life is, how do I forgive that person that hurt me when I was 5 years old, 6 years old? How do I forgive my ex-husband? How do I forgive that person that keeps hurting me over and over and over again? You know, we're going to talk in this part of the message about what to do when we're hurt and anger flares up, because there's a real powerful scripture that says, in your anger, do not sin. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, because you'll give the devil a foothold. Mm. So, Josh, I learned a long time ago that if I want to start an argument with my wife, I need to start it real early in the morning so I can be angry at her all day, because I made a commitment. I don't want to go to bed angry, so it gives me at least 12 hours to be angry at her. Nah, just kidding. But it's true that if we don't deal with the hurt that leads to anger and we let it simmer, it turns into something more poisonous, which is resentment. And I'm talking to someone right now. I'm talking to a wife right now that you have allowed anger to turn into this poison of resentment. And right now, your husband, when he goes to touch you on the shoulder, you pull away. And you don't know why. You're cold and ice towards him. And I think God is speaking to a wife right now that you really want to love your husband, but you just, you feel your heart is stone towards him. God has a word for you today through this message about releasing your anger and unforgiveness today.
Oh, that's so good. And you're going to talk to us about making a choice, an important choice, and living according to that choice in this part of the message. So, hey, why don't we go there right now? This is Connected, and it's called Release.
Think about these things. Whatever your mind dwells on the most is who you start becoming the most. If your mind is constantly dwelling on the negative, then you will become a negative individual. If your mind is constantly dwelling on how people have wronged you, then you will become a person, you will become a victim. And you will live in the valley of self-pity. If you're constantly thinking about how the world is going to end, and I run into people like that, they're gathering bottles of water, getting their generators ready, talking about the end of the world all the time, then you will become an apocalyptic, end-of-the-year, fearful individual if you're always thinking of doomsday. If you are a person that's been hurt and you're always thinking about your hurt, then you will become a bitter person, a resentful person. If you are a person, wherever your mind dwells is who you become. Eventually, where your thoughts are is who you end up becoming. Have you ever seen two people that have had tragic childhood experiences? And they had, both of them had very, very difficult childhood. But one person grows up and seems like they become bitter, isolated, dysfunctional, angry, a chip on their shoulder. And the other person that went through the exact same childhood, they seem to become resilient. In fact, it seems like their childhood and the difficulties that they had to overcome actually have been an impetus to lead them to success and a good attitude. And you wonder, how could two people raised in the same conditions turn out so differently? I'll tell you why. It depends on where our mind chooses to dwell. You know what the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5? It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive, let me say that again, we take captive, let me say it one more time, we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Do you realize that you can make your thoughts obedient and make it obedient to Christ? You know, when I was growing up, I had a German Shepherd. Now, this German Shepherd was almost as big as I. We bought him as a puppy, and as he grew, he became almost as big as I was. And my dad gave me the responsibility of training this dog. Well, the first time I took this dog out for a walk, the dog walked me. I didn't walk the dog. Wherever the dog wanted to go, I was kind of dragging behind it. You know, he wanted to go there, I'd follow behind it. And I would tell my dad, Dad, I can't train him. He's out of control, and he drags me wherever he wants to drag me. I can't lead him. He leads me. And so my dad said, well, what you need to do is you need to teach him obedience. And I got a book on dog training. I also got a collar that if you left it out on the outside was a protection for the dog, because if a dog bit him, it wasn't nails, but it was like these little wires there. And if a dog tried to bite him, it was protection. But if I wanted to train him, I'd invert it. And if the dog pulled too hard, it would put pressure on his neck, and so he'd stop pulling. So I started taking that dog out for a walk every single day. And in the beginning, the dog led me, but I started training him. Sit, back, heel, stay. And every day, in the beginning, he led me. But the more I trained him, the more the dog began to follow me. He came under my control. He came under obedience to my leading. So it no longer was wherever the dog wanted to go. It was wherever I trained the dog to go. Your thoughts are much like training a German Shepherd. Some of you are sitting in this auditorium and your mind is so undisciplined, it's hard for you to even focus on what I'm saying. You've already gone outside, checked out the car, looked at the parking lot, gone to the oven, seen where you're going to eat, and then you come back. You're looking at me like this, but I know your mind's gone over there. You've been 100 different places, and you're just kind of looking like this, like, hey, he doesn't know where I'm at. Yeah, I could tell when there's emptiness in there. I could tell when you're gone where no one's home. Hello? And you say, I can't help it, Pastor. My mind wanders. And I'm saying, put a leash on that mind. Bring that mind into obedience. Get it under control. Start saying, hey, mind, if this is not a thought of God, then I want you to say, I take authority in Jesus' name. And I say, thought, come under the control of Christ. And if it's a thought that you don't need to have, it's an angry, depressed, negative, critical thought, then you need to say, Christ, take this thought obedient, make it, bring it under your control. And it says he brings every thought under control and makes it obedient to him. You have authority over your thinking. Some of you need to learn that. So when it comes to forgiveness, your mind tends to go to where you're hurt, but you have the ability by the power of Jesus Christ to begin to dictate where your mind goes, what you think about, what you're concentrating on, what you're meditating on. Whatever you think is who you are. As a man thinks, so is he, the Bible says. Whatever you think becomes the sum of who you are. The third thing that Scripture says, I'm talking about how to maintain your forgiveness, how to stay in your forgiveness. The third thing I want you to understand is this. When anger flares up, deal with it quickly before it gets a foothold in your life. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27 is one of the most powerful verses on anger. You need to underline this. You need to write it in your Bible because it's a very powerful verse. It says this. In your anger, do not sin. Trick question. How many of you believe that anger is a sin? Raise your hand. How many of you believe that anger is not a sin? Raise your hand. We have a divided crowd here. It is a trick question. Let me say this. Anger can be sinful, but the emotion of anger is not a sin. You say, well, how do I know that? Well, God never sins, right? And God becomes angry. Jesus became angry. To be sad, to be angry, to be happy, they're emotions. There's no morality attached to your emotions. In fact, let me tell you this. There are times when we should become angry. There's times where injustice prevails. There are times when wrong is happening. That anger, what is anger? Anger is an emotion that gives you energy, right? There's something that's wrong, and suddenly when you're angry, there's a surge of adrenaline that pops up inside of you. When is it good? Well, let's imagine that you're walking down the parkway, and you see a woman with a young baby, and some thug is beating on her and hitting her, and the baby's in danger. You see what's happening. You become angry. How could he be doing that? I can't believe he's doing that. And that anger leads you to action, and you grab the guy, you throw him down. Of course, the men are saying, punch him, hit him, kick him a little bit. You get him away, you protect the woman. And in that case, that's godly anger. That's good anger. You should become angry when the innocent are being abused. That's good anger. It's energy, adrenaline that leads you to do something about it. However, that same kind of adrenaline, anger, emotion of anger can also lead you to do destructive things. You get angry at your child and you lash your child with the tongue saying things you should never say. You get angry at your job and you get home and you're just like you're a time bomb ready to explode. And people can tell, uh-oh, dad's had a bad day. Watch out. And some people have let their anger go way too far, and you get out of control. You become verbally abusive. People get physically abusive. They do things in their anger that they would never do when they're under control. They get out of control in their life, and it leads to sin. So what the Apostle Paul tells us is it's okay if you get angry, but do not let the emotion of anger drive you down the road to sin.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Job in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Release, which is from our current series called Connected, Breaking Out of Isolation. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 30 through 32. And his message is called Release.
And when you do get angry, notice what it says. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Why does it tell us that? Well, here's the thing about anger. If you allow anger to go into the next day, and the next day, and the next day. Some of you say, I'm not angry anymore, but you're really angry. You say, have you dealt with it? Yeah, I'm not angry anymore. You know why? Because you don't feel that explosive anger anymore, but instead it's turned into a simmering anger. You know what the Bible calls that? Bitterness. Some of you think because the emotion of rage isn't there that you no longer have to deal with something, but it's turned into even more dangerous sin. Now it's turned into bitterness. Bitterness is not explosive rage. Bitterness is a slow simmering, burning, boiling inside. When you see the person, you're not ready to punch them, but when you see them, you snarl. Yeah. It's not that let me get my hands on them anymore. Now it's there they are, yeah. I'm walking the other side of the room. Bitterness is less detectable. You can manage it a little bit more. But the Bible says that a root of bitterness will grow up in your heart, and a root of bitterness will defile your life and begin to defile every person around you. It is a cancerous poison to the soul. It'll eat you up inside. It'll take away your spiritual life. It'll ruin your marriage. It'll take away your energy. It'll destroy your relationship with God. It will poison every aspect of your life because it is a poison of the soul, bitterness. And that's why God says you can be angry, but your anger is never meant to last more than a day. It's a real simple, great rule. When the sun starts going down, you realize, I got to deal with my anger. I can't care. Here's the rule. If I had one rule to give you as a marriage, there's a couple important rules. I know you guys just got married recently. You know, one important rule, don't carry it over to the next day. Okay? Don't carry it over to the next day. Now, I know that rule, right? I'm a pastor. I've been preaching this for a long time. So if I want to get in a good knockdown, drag out fight with my wife, I do it real early in the morning. That way I have all day to be angry. And so, you know, I'm smart enough. I don't pick a fight at nighttime when it's 10 o'clock because I know I only have a half hour, 45 minutes before it gets dark. So I have to do it real early in the morning. That way I can be angry and huff and puff and pout all day and then I got to fix it. Just kidding. But hey, make sure you don't carry it over to the next day, right? Because that's not the way to do it. So it's a simple rule, but it'll serve you a long way. Deal with it that way. And then the Bible goes on to say this. It says, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And listen, and do not give the devil a foothold. You know what a foothold is? It's real simple. It's a foot in the door. When I was young, I had an older brother. We'd play around. He'd chase me. I'm going to get you. He'd run around. And I knew if I closed the door and locked it, you can't get me. But if he's chasing you around, and I go to close the door, and he gets his foot in the door, and the door closes, the door doesn't close all the way. How many of you know a foothold is the beginning of an open door? You say, oh, I can manage it. It's only a crack. Hey, all it takes is a crack. Once the foot is in the door, that means the door can't lock. And if the foot is in the door, that means people can yell in the door so you can hear what they're saying. Then the hand gets in the door, and if he pushes and prods enough, pretty soon that door is going to open more. And before long, a foothold turns into an open door. Now, I want you to hear me and hear me well. Anger, when someone has hurt you and you become angry and don't deal with that anger produces pain in your life. And the way you deal, if you're not forgiving and releasing, the way people deal with their anger is they try to find ways to feel good because they have pain inside. And we find shortcuts to feeling good. Some of our favorite shortcuts to feeling good is, I feel lousy, I'm angry, I need a drink. Just to take the edge off. I'm angry. Well, you know, you take the edge off so much you can barely walk. And then the next day, you need to take the edge off a little bit more. And you take the edge off so much, you constantly need just to survive to take the edge off. And then you wake up one day and you say, I don't know how I became an alcoholic. Because now your dependence is your drink. You can say that about the little line of powder people snort. I'm just a recreational guy. I don't really need this. But I need to do it, and I need to do it more because I'm angry, I'm upset, I need to do it more and more, and pretty soon you wake up one day and you have a $1,000 a week habit and you don't know where it came from. Or you start gambling because there's a little high when you win something, isn't it? I mean, even if it's 50 bucks, 25 bucks, wow! You just spent 40 bucks to win the 25, but hey, to see those slot machines come down, it's like, yeah, 25. And now you live for the high. I know I lost, but I just do it one more time, one more time, one more time, one more time. And pretty soon you become an obsessive compulsive gambler. Why do people gamble? To make money? No, any smart person wouldn't gamble to make money because most people lose money. You gamble for the short high you get out of it. It's the feel good of winning. That's what you're going for. The same thing with pornography. You show me an angry man and I'll show you someone that struggles with lust, because anger and lust are cousins. One of the easiest way that men deal with their anger issues is the quickest feel good is a little bit of pornography. A little Playboy under the mattress, a little internet pornography. Oh, it feels good. Watch it. Pretty soon it's more and more and more. And then suddenly you have someone that's an obsessive, compulsive pornography fiend that cannot control it. Their mind's constantly going there. And it's not about the sex. It's about the compulsive, addictive behavior of feeling good for the moment. And someone wakes up and cannot understand why they have an addiction now and can't have a healthy relationship because their mind has gone so far down there that they're in an addictive, compulsive way. I'm talking about why you need to deal with anger right away and why you cannot live with hurt in your life and allow it to turn into bitterness and resentment in your life. The Bible says, don't give the devil a foothold. The devil gets a foothold. He gets access to your life. And some of you have opened up footholds in your life because you did not deal with anger issues in your life. Psalms 4:4 says, in your anger, do not sin. When you are on your bed, search your hearts and be silent. One last point I'm going to give you here, and then we're going to wrap things up. Number four, talking about how to maintain your forgiveness. Determine to treat people according to your choice of forgiveness. Once you forgive someone, you need to say in your mind, I'm going to treat this person as though they are forgiven. You say, well, I don't feel forgiveness. Can I tell you this? Just because you don't feel it doesn't mean it's not true. Oh, let me say that again. Your feelings are not a dependable barometer of reality. Are you tracking with me? How many of you in the moment of depression have felt like, hey, God doesn't love me? Where is God? Has he abandoned me? But it doesn't mean that God has. Just because you feel it doesn't mean it's reality. Your emotion should not drive your life. Your faith should drive your life. The facts of the Word of God and your faith should be the engine that drives your life. Your emotion should be the tail of the train. Your emotions need to follow your facts and faith. Hello? You may wake up one day and feel like, hey, my spouse doesn't love me. Doesn't mean they don't love you. Just means you feel like they don't love you. You may have a terrible day and terrible things going on, terrible crisis in your life, and you think God has abandoned me. It doesn't mean God has abandoned you just because you feel like he's abandoned you. You may wake up one day and feel like the world's against me because everything's going wrong. It seems like everybody's against me. Just because you feel that doesn't mean it's true. And what I'm saying to you is that just because you don't feel like you have forgiven doesn't mean you have. You begin to live and act and flow in forgiveness. Hurt, forgiven hurt seeks healing. Unforgiven hurt seeks revenge. Psalms 32 verse 1 and 2 says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit. Bottom line, folks, is this. You were never engineered by God to live with unforgiveness in your life. You were never made by God to live with undealt with anger in your life. You were never emotionally, spiritually, physically built to carry a truckload of resentment in your life. So if you are doing that, something inside of you is breaking. Something inside of you is crashing, is dysfunctional. If you carry that weight for too long, you will damage yourself, your marriage, your children, your relationship, and your spiritual life. So God's exhortation to you today is release it, let go of it, forgive. Amen? Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe and the second half of his message called Release, which is from his current series called Connected, Breaking Out of Isolation. And as I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just visit PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find more messages that can help you with your spiritual walk. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, you can contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We also would like to invite you to visit a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving churches around Chicagoland. Check us out at newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. Please do tune in again on the next Straight Talk and tell a friend about our program. That's it for Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself. Thank you for listening. Have a great evening, and God bless.